Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, November 11, 2020. The South Sudan Opposition Movements Alliance has pulled out of a workshop organized by CITISAM.
In that session of talk, we presented a declaration of principles, which is paving the way forward for actual negotiation that will take place is planned for the end of this month. But unfortunately, what had happened yesterday is kind of a slap in the face.
And a former SPLM-IO commander clashes with Central African Republic rebels known as Seleka inside South Sudan territory.
We got the information from the SSPDF and the National Security who are within that area. So when it happened, we called them. We actually informed them about the incident and let them go and they confirm what happened.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The spokesman for the South Sudan Opposition Movements Alliance says his group has pulled out of a Rome workshop organized by the Ceasefire and Transitional Security Arrangement Monitoring and Verification Mechanism, a body monitoring the South Sudan Peace Agreement. Kwaja Lasu says the Rome workshop was aimed at building trust between SOMA and the South Sudan government. He says SOMA and the government signed a Rome resolution in January to recommit to cessation of hostility agreement. He says the government violated the agreement multiple times, including a recent attack on Tuesday on the rebels of the National Salvation Front base at Lobonok.
This is a continuation of the peace process that we engage in through Senegidio and Rome. When we recommit ourselves to cessation of hostility back in January, that paved the way for participation of SOMA into CITISAM.
What does CITISAM stands for?
It's a ceasefire and transitional security arrangement monitoring and verification mechanism. Our last meeting in October, we recommit because during those period there was a lot of violation, specifically from the government side. We agreed that we needed to commit. That gave us, as part of the commitment, we will be participating on CITISAM, understanding what CITISAM stands for, the technical aspect of it, and the requirement of SOMA to be part of it. The workshop was planned for 9th through 13th of this month, and we are actively participating on the process. Unfortunately, a sister organization, a member of SOMA base, which is a SOMA base, has been attacked. It's a clear violation.
The rebels of the National Salvation Front, who are part of your coalition, issued a statement yesterday about an attack in Lobonok. Could you shed more light on that?
NAS forces in Lobonok came under attack by South Sudan People's Defense Forces that led to casualties. And unfortunately, life was lost. And our brothers in NAS respond in self-defense, as all along since we signed the COHA. NAS in particular has been standing down in terms of aggression or any movement. So what had happened yesterday on the 10th led to our suspension of the participation in CITISAM, because this is clear indication of lack of political will, because our participation in CITISAM, it is for building trust between us and the government of South Sudan. And this has been repeated time and time and again. And unfortunately, what had happened, the government of South Sudan have taken us for granted. It is pretty much a hoodwink, whereby we are actively participating in a goodwill, with a political will, to be part of the CITISAM.
Talking about a political will, if you have one, you should be in Rome at the CITISAM workshop instead of walking away from the workshop.
Absolutely, because attacking one organization is attacking all of us. That's the motto. We have to. Juba regime has to show us how committed are they to cessation of hostility. We have time and again we committed to this, but the violation keep happening, and we cannot continue as such.
Now, after pulling out of the workshop, what is your next course of action?
We suspending the participation. However, we'll see what the mediators and what the Juba will come up with. We really want to see the commitment from Juba to show their complete level of commitment.
Kwajala, so every time I talk to you, what comes to my mind is, like, it appears all of you are just playing blame games with the South Sudanese people, and whenever there is fighting, it's the common people who suffer. You say you're fighting for them, the government says they are protecting them, but they are suffering in the course of your fighting.
Yes, unfortunately, this is the nature of the beast, because Juba will attack us, and they use the same language that when we respond, that we attack them. So that's something that they will continue doing that.
And you sound like you will continue doing that.
Because we're protecting in our territory. What has happened all along, Juba has been instigating and putting our bases under threat for quite a long time. We cannot continue being harassed and being attacked while we are sitting on our hands.
Can you educate some of us who are not aware of what is happening in Rome? So after this, what happens? After pulling out of the workshop, what happens?
When we left Rome, we left in a continuation that we will continue because we did not sign the last recommitment to COHA, that would so what we agreed was based on the 3 months grace period, Juba should give us a clear indication that they're committed to the ceasefire. Also, in that session of talk, we presented a declaration of principles, which is paving the way forward for actual negotiation that will take place, is planned for the end of this month. But at this point, things are up in the air. Although we're still open to continue the discussion, but unfortunately what had happened yesterday is kind of a slap in the face.
That's Kwajala Su, spokesman for the South Sudan Opposition Movements Alliance. He spoke with me from North Carolina earlier today. My colleague Nabil Biagio reached out to the acting spokesperson for the South Sudan People's Defense Forces for comments about the latest attack on rebels of the National Salvation Front at Lobonok Village. Colonel Santo Domic had this to say.
It happened yesterday on the 10th of November at around 5:30 in the first light in the morning. Elements from NAS launched surprise attacks against the SSCS defense locality at Karpata. And as a result, four from members of the families of one of our soldiers within the locality lost their life in a crossfire. Then the SSCDF were left with no option other than to repel the attackers. During the process, the attackers were repelled. And at around 6:30 in the morning, because it took about 40 minutes, then the SSCDF normally conducted a mobile operation around the defensive locality, in which two bodies from element of NAS were found dead on the ground with their weapons.
So this attack came in the middle of a workshop in Rome, which is supposed to build trust between the government and the South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance, and follow up on an earlier agreement signed this year. But now the South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance has pulled out of the talks. What do you have to say about this situation?
SSCDF has actually created awareness among the SSCDF forces across the country as per the peace negotiation that are taking place in Rome, so that the SSCDF should not attack or should not pursue any elements in case they come under hostile attack from any. But the only thing that the SSCDF is supposed to be doing is to act on self-defense should they come under attack.
The South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance says the South Sudan People's Defense Forces has violated the cessation of hostilities agreement signed in Rome multiple times. And yesterday's attack was just the latest. How do you respond to these accusations?
This is the line. And this is what I was expecting from NAS. You see, as per their behavior, you see, even before Rome, they were actually intensified, you know, the attacks against the SSCDF. And the government today is actually for peace, you know, because now the two main political activities in the country now is the national dialogue, and then there is the implementation of revitalized peace agreement, and then getting those people who are still out of the agreement to be part of the peace deal in the Republic of South Sudan. So it is actually the government which is very serious to see to that South Sudan is peaceful.
South Sudanese have been yearning for peace for so long, and now they have a fragile and a slow-moving peace process. What can you tell them about, you know, why these violations, you know, keep happening, and why the government is not able to put an end to the war and restore total peace in the country?
Well, I cannot talk for NAS, because it is actually NAS which has actually launched the attack against the SSPDF, not otherwise. And therefore, it is actually the SSPDF which is actually yearning for peace, because there is nothing, which we have not seen in terms of war, in terms of bad things in the country. If there are people that really are looking for peace, it is SSPDF and the government of South Sudan.
That's the acting spokesperson for the South Sudan People's Defense Forces. He spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio from Juba earlier today. Still on fighting, some residents and local leaders at Sosyubu in Western Equatorial State say they are living in fear because of recent fighting at the border between former SPLA-IA commander and Seleka rebels from the Central African Republic. For VOA News, Siba Martin Murangi reports from Juba.
William Adriano Baiki, executive director in Western Equatorial State Governor Alfred Futio's office, confirmed the attack. Baiki accuses forces belonging to Brigadier James Nando, a former SPLA-IO commander who defected to South Sudan People's Defense Force in March this year, of attacking a barracks of the Seleka rebels on Sunday morning. Speaking by phone from the Western Equatorial State capital, Yambio, Baiki says following Sunday's attack, the state government dispatched soldiers to the area to investigate the incident.
We got the information from the SSPDF and the national security who are within that area. So when it happened, we called them. We actually informed them about the incident. They let them go and they confirm what happened. They went up to Bamuti. They met even with the Seleka, who were even attacked by the splitted group from the SPLA-IO. When they asked them, they told them, no, they know very well this is not the government of South Sudan, but the force is loyal to the former Division 9B of the SPLA-IO Sector 6 in Western Equatoria, who defected on 26th of March, 2020.
Brigadier Nando, a former commander of the SPLA-IO's Division 9B in Tombra County, denies the accusation, saying he has no reason to attack rebels in a neighboring country.
These are all lies. My zone is just one in the whole state of Western Victoria, which is next to Yambi Airstrip. In Sosyubu, I have no forces. They are saying I have forces in Barikuna, yet that is the place where I was born. Not that it has my forces. What can take me to go and attack another country without the consent of my country, South Sudan, in which I live?
Baiki says he does not know Nando's motive for attacking the Seleka rebel barracks.
The reason behind that is actually unknown to him. He is the right person in the right place to answer the question. Because he defected, he joined the SSPDF. He should actually be under the administration of the SSPDF. But now he's like independent armed force, and they also call himself in Western Equatoria a special forces, of which it is not even included in the agreement. Is there any special forces in the agreement? It is not there. It's special forces for who?
Nando says he was told the people who attacked the Seleka rebels were carrying PKM machine guns, weapons he says his forces do not own.
My forces are well organized in one place, in their barracks. My intention is to wait patiently for the integration of my forces into the South Sudan People's Defense Force.
Eyewitnesses on both sides of the Sosyubu border crossing point declined to comment on the situation for fear of reprisals from competing military forces in the region. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Murangi in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, Churches are becoming a beacon of hope in South Sudan. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Describe a perfect day.
A perfect day is when I wake up in the morning without any challenges. I have my family around me. I go to work, come back without any mishaps or difficulties or any hangovers.
A perfect day for me would be a day without any stress, without traffic, without any sickness, without any pertinent need. That would be a perfect day for me.
My perfect day, when I get off and then I come out, I do all my assignment in the office or in the other aspect of my curriculum activities.
Maybe watch a movie so I could fall asleep. You know, just watch something for laughs, a comedy. And that's just my typical perfect day.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The former Secretary General of the SPLM-IO, who resigned from the party on Tuesday, says the movement might continue to lose more members if Riek Machar does not change his strategy. Michael Atit had a one-on-one interview with Peter Tingolimbo and files this report for VOA from Khartoum.
Speaking exclusively to South Sudan in Focus upon arriving in Khartoum last night, Limbo described the SPLM-IO party under Machar as one-man movement, which does not allow other potential South Sudanese leaders to contribute positively towards building an institution that can serve the South Sudanese people.
He's the chairman of the movement, he is the deputy of the movement, he is the general secretary. Even he is a chief of staff of the movement, commander-in-chief. And all these people, they are there. When you talk about democracy in the system, then this is what kind of this leadership.
Limbo, who hails from Western Bahr el Ghazali state, was appointed secretary general for the SPLM-IO in December 2016. Since then, Limbo says he was never given full authority to carry out his duties within the SPLM-IO according to the party's constitution.
I don't have office, and the chairman did not allow, according to the constitution, the secretary to form the general secretariat. Everything is in the hand of the chairman. It's not working with the structure and the constitution of the movement.
The SPLM-IO was among several opposition parties that signed a peace agreement with the South Sudan government. Its party member took the lion's share of the government positions. Machar was reinstalled as the first vice president of the Republic of South Sudan. Limbo says he and many other SPLM-IO members have advised Machar to change his leadership style so that the movement can stand firm and achieve its objectives, but Machar won't listen.
We talk about it, chairman. You don't consult people. You're doing things alone. You take decision alone. You then share people. And all of us, we are tired about this. Not only the SG. Okay. So, and this is what I mentioned in my resignation. I said, become difficult for me to continue with this kind of system. To me, it may be a waste of energy, waste of time.
Asked if he plans to join any political party in the near future, Limbo said he has no intention of playing a key role in politics anymore, but would be available to more community work. He says South Sudan is in need of more intellectuals who can work with the community to build peace.
I'm not joining any party. I'll be like any intellectuals, like any politician. You can participate with your ideas, with your what capacity that you have. You can participate. Yeah. It's not necessary to be in this or in that, but in your own capacity of thinking or as an intellectual, you can participate.
Several phone calls to Manawa Peter Gatkwat, head of the SPLM-IO's Information Department, for comment on this report went unanswered. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From Rumeku, we move to Western Equatoria, where a Catholic priest with the Yambio Tambura Diocese in Western Equatoria State says some communities in remote villages are not aware of the coronavirus pandemic. Father Abraham Abayo Anthony says he opened a church in Kinyi, one of the remotest parts of the county, without health facility in order to educate people about the dangers of COVID-19 and other deadly disease.
In an area called Kinyi, I opened last Friday a new church in the name of St. Joseph Marello. This area never had a church in the past. And they have a good population there. They always move over 3 to 4 kilometers to any church so that they can pray there. But with the help of the executive chief in Tombora Payam, he has given us a piece of land which he inherited from his father. So it was a big celebration and people enjoyed. Even me, myself, I enjoyed it.
Talk to me a little bit about your work as the man of God in Western Equatoria. You know very well that when you and I leave Western Equatoria and go to other parts of South Sudan, they look at us like we are witches and wizards. Talk to me about your work.
In regard to traditional African religions, some of the people, I think, still think about practicing witchcraft. But there are very limited number now. Most of the people now look at that as something of the past, and that they have to take religion now very seriously. They didn't understand it before very well. In the course of time, you see a great number who have left all the traditional practices, exercising their belief in God.
I remember very well during my school days in Yambia, we used to hear about Oracle, what is popularly known by the locals there as Benge, and you have other things like Canary Man, all these kind of things. Are they still existing?
To the best of my knowledge, because I have never even seen those things. Maybe they're still there, but as I hear, it seems that those practices most of the people have forgotten about them. If they're existing, maybe in the remotest part of the villages, but not really in towns or any nearby centers, because people could be moving to them.
Correct, Abuna. I know that in this difficult moment of the coronavirus pandemic, people are looking for hope. People are looking for solution. People are looking for services and direction. What are you hearing from people in Tambura County?
This catastrophic pandemic has been really a big blow because even here, where we don't have many experts or even specialized instruments to detect the COVID or the pandemic. People are scared, and people we still believe that this virus could be there. But to the best of my knowledge, we have not found people here who are tested positive of this, maybe also because we don't have the facilities. But thanks be to God, we don't have people who have died really here from that pandemic.
That's Father Abraham Abayo Anthony, parish priest of St. Francis Church in Tombora. He spoke with me from Tombora yesterday.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Barani by Colonel Mido.
Barani dungangwa turonyo, eri si ili moro eri songangbeye, animangi he auro koto sende, wamakwi ya muhe waduhe ngangwa turonyo. Mufunga ni ria he frani arime, muvrani shigani engapaye, wanovwe oguyo, na engapaye kuchirani, kamungbe angafrani batayo, sa asadaya unumutukrani, chikwe gwerapaye, Chipari mungbe gangamwe, natandwe natalimwe, yaye kinzi, amina.
Barani dungwangwa tulonywe, barani Dungwangwa turonywe
Esilimolo ensongangwe Animangi he auro kwato sende Animangi he auro kwato sende Wamapia muhe wadwe mangwa turonywe Yawe
Mangwa turonywe Barani dungwangwa turonywe
Esilimolo ensongangwe Esilimolo ensongangwe Animangi he auro kwato sende Animangi he auro kwato sende Wamapia muhe wadwe mangwa turonywe Yawe
Mufunganiria efrani alime Mufunganiria efrani alime Mufrani chigani
engapaye
Mufrani chigani
engapaye
Wanofwe
kubwe
Nengapaye Kamungwe anga frani
eh?
Esa asadaya Chegwe kwera paye Chegwe kwera paye Chipari mungwe gagamwe Chegwe kwera paye
We have been listening to Colonel Mido with the song Barani. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you must leave your home. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Barani, Dubai, 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 Dubai.